Well, hey there. Why don't you cozy up by the fire and put on your finest lingerie? Because today, we're getting frisky with finances. Arr!
Are you ready for a massive mind shift experience? This is the Mental Cement Podcast with your host, Candace Kelly.
This is Candace Kelly here. I'm so excited that you're here. And if you can't tell by now, today we're talking all about how sexy is your money, honey? Because let's face it, a lot of us have let our bank statements go, okay? But I want to get you in the mood. So disclaimer right up front, this episode is for mature audiences only, okay? But I want to get us started, so let's get your juices flowing, right? Let's get a little hot. Let's get a little heavy. Let's start to think about your last intimate encounter with your financial life, okay? Like, let's talk about the real freaky stuff here. Like, how provocative is your stock portfolio? Like, how risque is that rate of return on your high interest savings account? How wrecked is your emergency fund? Yeah, it's okay. These puns are starting to fall apart here. I'm hoping that you're catching my drift. Money's sexy, right? But also, money is taboo, right? It's a little kinky, a little freaky. Like, oh, you want to know about my bank statements? Wow, like, you must be getting in deep. Okay, and the reason I bring this up is because money is very taboo, but that's weird, right? That's so weird because there are so many sex scenes on TV. There's so much sexualized imagery. We have a whole class where we teach kids about sex that's mandatory and people flip out, right? There's so much content that you consume about it. But when it's about money, usually it's just laughing at, you know, rich people who lost it all. Or talking about how to pay bills and make ends meet. And there's an in-between, right? Like, you don't just go from paycheck to paycheck to, like, balling like Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos and whatever. Like, it just doesn't happen like that. There's a process, right? There's a middle. There's an in-between. And so what I want to know is, how the heck do you get from here to there? Like, but how do you do it with style? How do you make it sexy? Because the way we talk about money now, it's usually like a bunch of old guys who are like, you don't need to spend your money, kids. You need to do better. Or in the words of Dave Ramsey,
most people are stupid when it comes to money.
And that ain't cute. That's not fun. Nobody likes to be talked to like that. He has a point. That is very true. But how inspiring is that to get up and go do something, to go change? What if you don't even know where to start? And what if it's not something that you feel like is that important or that urgent because you don't really understand the correlation between financial health and your overall well-being and happiness in life? Well, today we're going to talk about it. Like, all condoms are off, people. We're going in raw with this thing, okay? And I want you to stay with me because I have some points and I hope that you'll find them effective. I hope that they'll get you aroused, excited to dig in deeper, go balls deep into this and figure out how can we get our money to stop looking funny and start looking sexy.
Here comes the money.
I want you to sit back, relax, and go on a little trip with me. Think about the last time you were in a sex ed classroom. If you're like me, it's probably in middle school or high school. You probably had so many questions, but you didn't know where to start. Or maybe you were so nervous you didn't know what to ask because you just didn't know what you should know, what you should ask, what you should be curious about. And if you remember, they came in and what did they talk about? Like, what were the categories of topics? Most likely it fell into two categories, right? What to watch out for and the potential consequences if you do things wrong, right? Like, they always start with sex is a big responsibility, you kids. You don't know what you're doing. Don't be bumping uglies if you're not prepared to be a mom. You're going to have 20 babies and 17 STDs, right? And then they're like, okay, great. But You feel like most kids, you probably had one burning question that nobody really could answer for you, which was, how do you do it? Like, how do you do the sex? Like, what does that look like? Like, I know when I was younger, I used to think that if you used a tampon, that meant you weren't a virgin, right? I don't know. It says you put something in your hoo-ha, like, that means you're it, you're experienced, you're out there. I was like, okay, maybe that's it, right? Maybe that's sex. I don't know. I used to think that if you kiss too hard, you get a baby, you can get pregnant, right? There's so many silly things you think, and you look back now, you're like, oh, so dumb. But where'd you get that information from? You got it from your stupid butt friends and the internet, right? Where all great ideas are born. And in some ways, it's kind of the same with money, right? Like, we laugh at these kids, like, these millennials don't know what the heck they're doing. They're up to the armpits in student loan debts, and they're buying Ferraris, and they work at McDonald's. It's like, well, but they don't really know how to do money. Like, did you teach them? If you're their parent, if you're their friend, did you learn how to do money? Not really. So where do they go? To their stupid butt friends and the internet. And that's kind of the root of the problem, though, right? Like, at some point, you have to make mistakes to figure out, oh, this ain't right. And depending on your environment, you may have someone that corrects you, and they're like, oh, sweetie, no, please, please, sweetie, don't do that anymore, right? But if you're not lucky, you just keep screwing up until you figure it out, right? And so I want to go through, and let's just start with the basics, right? The basics. I like to call them the principles. The principles, the fundamentals. These are things that are universally true, right? Such as, if you have sexuals without protection, you have a risk of getting pregnant, right? If you are a normal couple, you have a risk of getting pregnant. That's just a fact. It's just a rule, right? And so with money, there are some things that are just fundamentally true. And the easiest way that I can describe it is, I like to think of it as gears, right? So again, imagine you're getting ready for your first sexy time, right? Your first sexy time, you're excited, you're like, okay, I think I did all the right things. You know, I read some articles about it, I used some mouthwash, I'm ready, I'm good, right? There's kind of three stages you go through. The first one is like the foreplay. You're getting all ready, you're getting amped up, you're building that potential for something sexy to occur, right? That's stage one. And then you go in there and you start doing the hanky-panky. You're in motion. You're in the ocean. You're moving. You're grooving. You're getting rootin' tootin', right? And then the last phase is the big finale. You've reached the climax. You've found some happy release. You have accomplished what you set out to, and potentially it's either really awkward or really great, right? Only options. So there's stages that you go through. And with money, it's kind of the same, right? So think of that gearing up phase as your earning potential. How much money do you earn, right? And why is this phase number one? Most people think this is the only thing there is. But you wouldn't meet someone you like. You ever had that experience? Usually it's like in high school, late high school or college, where there's someone you like and there's so much tension between you. Like, there's so much sexual tension. You're like, oh, I just want to work their face off. But you never do. You just like flirt a little bit and send little text messages and brush across their arm in the hallway and stare at them longingly across the room. And you're like, oh, this is eating me alive. Like, I just want to jump on this person. But if you don't, nothing really happens from that. Right? It's just the potential. It builds the potential for something amazing to occur, but it's not the act itself. And in the financial space, if you read any articles or seen the news lines, they talk about earning money as if that is financial literacy, right? If you make a lot of money, you're good. But how many people do you know that, or how many stories have you seen of people that make multiple millions of dollars a year and have no money? They own no assets. They're in debt. They're bankrupt. A bajillion. We've all seen them. And in our heads, there's kind of this dissonance, like, but they make so much money. I want that money. Like, they don't know what they're doing. And that's the truth. They had the potential to build wealth, but they only got one of the three gears. And you need all three kicking and turning to get to where you want to go, that final destination, my friends. So gear number two is the actual thing that creates that wealth. And if you have gear number two, you may or may not have gear number three present. It's helpful. You like it. It's the point of why you're doing what you're doing. But you can still get a pleasurable experience with gear number two. And that is, drum roll please, saving money. Saving money. Now, I know what you're thinking. You thought it was going to be something a lot cooler. And you probably thought that about sex too, right? You're like, oh, I thought this would be like they do in the music videos where everybody's just rubbing up against each other and all oiled up. Not quite. It's probably kind of ugly when you do it. It's probably a little clumsy. You make a couple mistakes. You might let a fart out here or there. You know, we've all farted. It's okay. It's okay. People fart. But it's the same with saving money, right? It's the least sexy part. And you gotta do it. It's inevitable. You cannot build wealth. You cannot have a healthy financial life if you don't save money, no matter how much you make, right? Because you can do foreplay all day, but if you don't get in there and bump and grind, you're not having intercourse. It's not a thing that you're doing. And so you got to save money. But the thing about it is, if you do it right, it's supposed to be pleasurable. You're supposed to feel good. It's not supposed to be something you do with your teeth bared and you're like, oh, well, I guess we can't have pizza this month, kids, because your mom wants to buy a house soon. Like, that's not the point of it. And sometimes we get so focused on the end goal, we forget that you can actually enjoy saving. Like, I know this is kind of nerdy, but I like saving money. Like, I feel excited if I see my bank account balance grow. And I'd rather have the money in there than have the stuff and have zero money. And that's just a mindset thing. And next week, we're going to talk about kind of the mindsets and how you adopt these different money personalities and how they can influence all of your money decisions. So if you have ever wondered, like, why do I spend this way? Or how come, like, I know I should save, I just don't want to. I don't like to. Or how come my one friend is always spending a bunch of money on Monday and then they're broke by Friday, right? We're going to talk about all that next week. So be sure to tune back in, my friend. But you got to earn money. You got to save money. And then the last one, which is the big finale. This one, if you remember in our sex example, right? There's foreplay. There's the actual act. Then there's the big finish, the release. The part that has the potential to create new life, right? But if you think about it in terms of sex, it cannot happen unless the other two are present, right? Like, you can't just wake up one day and you're like, oh no, I've climaxed. You cannot. But people seem to think, I'm just going to wake up and, oh, I am a wealthy man. Yesterday I was broke, but today the Lord has bestowed upon me $17 million. It is not possible. I'm telling you. As much as we want to believe these lottery stories, it can't happen, man. It takes time. You have to be patient. You have to nurture it. You have to love it. You have to learn the ins and outs of your money system. You got to hold your money. You got to take your money on dates. You got to wine and dine your money. And then your money is going to treat you so well at the last gear of money, which is growing your money, right? This is where you invest. This is where you get assets. This is where you put some in retirement funds, where you finally treated your money so good. It's like, you know what, babe? I'm going to do the dishes for you and I'm going to make you dinner. Your money wants to work hard for you, but it's got to feel loved. It's got to feel supported. It's got to feel special. And I know this is a very, very silly way to talk about a very serious topic, right? A lot of people, it gives them literal anxiety attacks when they get their paycheck or when they see their bills because they're like, oh God, there's never enough. Like, yeah, I hear you, girl. This is funny. Ha ha. But it ain't funny when I get my paycheck. And I hear you. Trust me. I hear you. It can be as serious or as silly as you want it to be because you decided it has to be that serious, right? You decided that it has to be stressful. It doesn't have to be stressful. It doesn't have to bring you anxiety, right? I don't want you to feel that way. And that's why we have this podcast. And throughout each episode, we're going to be silly. Because this is your life. Why would you live a boring life? I remember when I was younger and I was in elementary school, and I told my mom one day, I said, Mom, I don't think I want to be an adult. She was like, well, what do you mean, honey? You're going to have to be an adult. I'm like, yeah, but adults are always like so serious. They don't really play games. They don't really laugh. I just want to be like a kid all. You know what I mean? Like, why can't you bring that same joy, youthfulness, excitement, expectancy? Brenda Bouchard, who is one of the world's best high-performance coaches and motivational speakers, says that the recipe for motivation, right, the recipe is expectancy, meaning you believe it's going to happen, and action, which is positive movement in order to create change. So expectancy is a big part of this process. If you're looking at your money saying, honey, this ain't never going to work out. These ends are never going to meet. I tell you what, I ain't never going to meet my perfect man to take me out and show me a good time. Well, guess what you're going to have? A whole lot of never making ends meet and never meeting your perfect man. But if you say, I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to listen to podcasts like this. I'm going to read me a darn book about the thing. I'm going to learn the principles, the fundamentals, right? I'm going to ask people who actually have the results that I want to reach, right? The results that I want to reach. That's so important. Who are you asking about the most important decisions of your life, kid? Your life. Like, you only get one, depending on what you believe. I believe you only get one. If you believe something else, maybe pass me a couple of them lives, right? I'm not a cat. We don't get nine. So you have to ask people who have the results that you want to get. I ain't asking no fat people how to lose weight because they don't know. So don't ask broke people what to do with your money, your finances. Because unless you want to be broke, the only advice they can give you is how to remain broke. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Okay? So 3 years of money. You learn how to earn it. You learn how to keep it, save it. And you learn how to grow and invest it. Super duper duper simple. But it's important to really think about it. Think about, where are you on that spectrum? Which one are you really good at? Because most of us have at least one that we feel confident in. You're like, you know what? I may not have a lot of money, but I dang sure know how to keep what I got. Or you may be like, hey, yeah, I earn a pretty good salary. I'll never get to keep any of it, but I know how to make it if I need it. Or you may be like, you know what? I am a very intelligent investor. I tell you what, my portfolio is just shining. Right? Wherever you are, it's important to know, because awareness is the first step to change, right? Taking that positive action, like Brendan Bouchard says, so that we can create some change. And if this is piquing your interest, I have a link down below to a little quiz that you can take that'll tell you your money personality type. That'll tell you how you rank on that spectrum, which one you should be focusing on at this moment. So if you're not really sure, click the link down in the description. Go ahead, click it. I'll give you a moment. All right, and then come back, send me an email, follow me on social, and let me know what result you got. Now let's move into the second half, right? Because in any good sex ed class, they're not going to tell you what to do, but they will tell you a whole lot of what not to do, which is very helpful if you're trying to learn how to not be good with money or not be good at sex. And so they give you a lot of warnings. And the purpose, though, we all know the purpose is to keep you from making mistakes that so many people make that can really dramatically change your life. And so I think it'd be irresponsible to not tell you the same about money. So here we go. All right, let's dig right in. So in sex ed, they call these mistakes STDs. Or maybe making a baby when you weren't planning on it. Or maybe just feeling weird about yourself emotionally. And money has some unintended consequences if you're not careful. I think the biggest hurdle to overcome is those unwanted thoughts that are passed down that you believe are true, that ain't true. And I like to call those things FTDs. What does that say, Mark Candace? Don't worry, I'm going to tell you, dear listener. FTDs. Financially transmitted dumb ideas. Financially transmitted dumb ideas. Why are these so deadly? Why is nobody talking about it? Well, they're deadly because, just like an STD, if you're in close proximity, if you're really intimate with someone, if you trust them, if they have your trust and admiration, they could incept some really bad ideas into your head about what to do with money, about how to gain money, about how money works, about why you'll never have enough, why you're not good enough to have it, right? I think we all know at least one person who has a partner that's just toxic. Like, we're like, oh God, like, this person's my friend or family member, but their partner is just the worst person. And have you noticed that after a while, this person starts to change? They start to act differently. They start to talk differently. And what's happening is they're adopting the same beliefs and attitudes as a person that's closest to them. In this example, they partner. And we do the same thing with a lot of stuff, right? There's been all these studies that say statistically, your life has a high probability of looking like the five people closest to you. And that's true with money. That's why rich people tend to hang out with rich people. And broke people tend to hang out with people who pretend to be rich, but they ain't, right? And so it's so important to understand, recognize these FTDs and guard against them, right? Guard against them. You don't have to go around preaching, you know, that everybody needs to be safe and just the best way to prevent it is to be abstinent. That's like those people who go around saying, like, the best way to take care of your money, don't use the banks, just use the cash. We can't trust them. We don't know what they're doing with our money. It's like, yeah, but you can't win the game if you don't play, right? And I play to win, my friend. So you got to be in the game. You can't be afraid of it, but you can be educated and you can have some protection. In this case, we're going to build some mental cement. You get it. That's the name of the podcast, right? It's coming back. It's coming back, right? It's all tying in. Don't worry. I planned it. And so our protection, not condoms, mental cement, right? What does that mean? That means that in your brain, we're mixing up a concoction that will be a good, positive, impactful thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and actions in order to help us reach our goals. But it starts in our heads, and we have to mix it up, just like they do with cement. And then we have to pour it, and we have to give it time to set, give it time. And then over time, it'll be hard as a rock. No one will be able to change it because it's cemented now. We know who we are. We know what we believe. We know what our goals are, and we know how to get them because we got a rock hard head, okay? And so let's start talking about some of the most common FTDs, how to avoid them, how to bust through them, and then what we can do, some action steps to overcome them, right? And I think one of the biggest ones that I see most frequently is that people believe that to make more money, I have to work more hours, right? This is the most common one. To make more money, I have to work more hours. And it makes sense on the surface because usually when you first start working, you first start getting paid according to how many hours you work. But in the reality, they're paying you for the value that you produce. How expensive would it be for me to have to replace you as a worker? And so, for instance, I used to work at this childcare place. I'd work with children, do little summer camps. And at the camp, it would be all day and they pay me $200. And so what that means, it's not saying, all right, your hours are worth $200. It's saying that for me to find someone else to do what you're doing, this is how much the marketplace would say that that's worth, right? And for the amount of money that you're making me, this is how much I can afford to pay you while still making a profit for myself. And so think about those CEOs who make multiple millions of dollars. What that says is the amount of money that I am producing is almost billions of dollars. Multiple millions, if not billions of dollars that I am producing. So the value that I have is a couple hundred million dollars to this company, right? And many times, depending on what personality type you are with money, depending on how you grew up, what you were taught, you may be a person where if you need to make another buck or two, you go and get another job that takes up more of your time. But at some point, if you really think about this, at some point, if you work three jobs that are 8 hours a day, there's only 24 hours a day. Plus, you need to sleep, eat, maybe see your family, maybe take a shower. I don't know. You got stuff you need to do as a human. And so at some point, you're going to max out at the amount of time that is available to you. And time is one of the only non-renewable assets that we have as humans, right? You can always figure out how to make more money, but you can't get more than 24 hours in a day unless it's like some weird type of leap day and you're in a spaceship and you're zooming around. You know, unless you're doing something really weird, you're not going to get more than 24 hours. And so if you're using all of your time being paid hourly, there's a cap. You always hit a cap. And for people to make millions, it's impossible for someone to work more hours and become a multi-hundred millionaire, billionaire. It just doesn't work that way. And so at some point, you have to let go of the idea that I have to work more hours and say, I have to produce more value. That's where my money comes from, honey, right? Like that'd be like someone saying, well, I want to have better relations, so I just need to sleep with more people. Probably not the best thing to do. Probably need to build more intimate relationships with the people that you are sleeping with so that you are more valuable, so you have more emotional commitment, so that in turns, your physical interactions will be better. Boom, I tied it back to sex. Yes! So that's the first FTD, financially transmitted dumb idea. Another one is that debt is a good thing because it raises your credit score, right? The amount of people I've heard that say, yeah, I have a couple of credit cards, but I don't want to pay them off because I'm working on my credit. Okay. Let's go back to the basics here, right? What is credit? Credit score is a rating by the three credit bureaus, right? Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. There's three of them. You have three different scores. Certain sites like Credit Karma or others, I'll link some below. If you're not sure what yours is, you may want to check it out. It's a good number just to know because it's going to be evaluated if you try to apply to borrow money. And so they look at it to see how risky of a borrower that you are, right? It's kind of like body count. Like how many people have you been with? So I know how risky it is to sleep with you because I want to know my chances of being safe and getting the results I want, or you're not following through on your promise. And so the credit score is really just saying, this is how much you've been responsible with the money that you've borrowed. People think that has something to do with your wealth. Like they're like, oh, he's rich. He got a good credit score. And it's like, no, he's borrowed a crap ton of money and he's working on paying it back. That's all it means. You pay back what you owe on time. That doesn't make you rich, right? There's a lot of poor people that pay their bills on time. Most people pay their bills on time. That doesn't have anything to do with your wealth. It doesn't have anything to do with how financially set you are. You can have a great credit score and then you get laid off and you don't have any actual money, right? So sometimes I think we use that as an excuse to not sit down and do the work to really look at our finances. And that's not cool, right? From this day forward, we're not going to use credit score as an excuse to not do a budget and look at our finances and look at how much debt we have and how much we have in savings and figure out what the heck we want to do. Because that's the uncomfortable part, but that's where you see the change. I'm telling you, nobody likes to get naked. Everybody wants to have sex and nobody likes to get naked. Right. You got to do one to do the other. So don't fall into that trap, my friend. Don't fall into that trap. Another big FTD, right? Financially transmit dumb ideas. And there are tons of them, right? I can't get to all of them. But a lot of these are things that we learn when we're really young, right? Like, another big one is that people that spend a lot of money must have a lot of money. People that have a lot of stuff that look rich must be rich. They ain't rich, my friend. Usually, they're what I call ballin', right? And you'll learn all about that in the next episode. Don't forget to take the quiz down below. Find out your money personality type. I promise you, it'll make a lot of sense. Connect a lot of dots, right? But a lot of times, we'll see someone pull up at a red light. They got their cherry red little Ferrari. They got the windows down. They just got all the gray in their hair dyed out. So they think they're looking good. They got some sunglasses and, of course, a Gucci belt. You gotta have a Gucci belt or you ain't nobody, right? And we see them drive off. And for a split second, we have that little pang of envy, like, oh, man, I wish it was me. And then we have that little curiosity, like, man, I bet I can imagine what the rest of their life is like based off of this. And I bet they're going to pull up to this 8-story mansion. And I bet they got this beautiful hot wife on the side who can't really cook, but she takes good photos. And I bet that he runs a company. And I bet he never pays taxes. And he goes on vacations 8 times a week. And he's got at least $7 million in the bank. Right? And a lot of times, these people are making $100,000 a year, and they got $100,000 worth of payments, and they're broke, and they're paycheck to paycheck. And if they don't get their Christmas bonus on time, the boat is going to go up for foreclosure, right? The boat is going to be repoed. They're going to send the boat in, right? And so we assume that more money means less problems. Usually, for most people, more money just means more bills, more bills. Imagine how stressful that is if everyone thinks you have this amazing life and every day you come home and you're scared that if you don't make your sales or you don't do what you need to do, it's going to be gone in an instant. Or something crazy happens, like what's going on in the world today with this virus, right? And things are shutting down and people aren't getting paid. And you could start getting behind, falling in debt. You could risk losing all that you worked so hard to build. So that's FTD. That's a financially transmitted dumb idea that more stuff means you're rich. But that comes from what? You probably have never met a rich person. If you never met a rich person, you don't know what they are. You've only seen it on media and from your friends who they'd never met a rich person either. So you just create this image of like this middle-aged white guy in a nice car. And that ain't all rich people. I'm telling you what. I know some rich people and they are butt ugly, but honey, they got some money, right? We always think rich people are attractive for some reason. Like, not always. And so I want you to start just chewing on these. A good activity to do, an exercise to do is first take the quiz, right? Because it'll tell you not only where you are, if you need to work on earning, keeping, or growing your money, but it'll also tell you some of those ideas, some of those FTDs, common beliefs that your personality type may have around money. Like, is it acceptable for me if I'm going out for drinks? Do I buy all the drinks for my friends? Do I wait till they offer? Do I drink at home? Right? Those are different levels of thought depending on how you grew up, what you were taught in your financial ed class that we never had. And so I want you to do that exercise, do that quiz, and then I want you to get out a sheet of paper and add in some more. What are those things that you've always wanted to know about money that you never really asked or you never knew to ask because it wasn't relevant until you had to know it? Usually in life, we don't need to know things until we need to know them. And now is the time when you need to know. So what are those questions that you really want to know? Like, you're like, I hear people say budget, and I know it should be simple, but I really don't understand. Like, I just don't. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. That's okay. Stop being embarrassed. Because one thing that's true with sex, with drugs, with anything in life that is taboo, and especially with money, is that if we don't ask, we create our own assumptions. We have to ask the right questions to the right people. And the right people may not be your friend who works at the same job as you, makes the same income as you, and maybe doesn't know what they're doing either. They're just pretending. But if you really sit down and get honest, that's the way to find answers. That's the best, quickest, easiest way to get the result that you want. So get a sheet of paper, write down, what are the questions I have about money? Second thing, what are the things that I've always just assumed, but I don't know for sure? It's never been explicitly taught to me. These are the things that I like to think of as like common sense, right? Something that's common sense. Like for me growing up, common sense is you don't spend more money than you make. I'm like, everybody knows that, but not everybody does, right? Some people, common sense is that, oh, you use debt and credit as leverage, right? So then you can have more money to do other things with. There's different ways of thinking about it. And we don't often take a minute to say, well, what do I assume is common sense? And how do I know if that's true? Like, is this actually legitimately true based on the principles of money, the universal truths that everyone has to follow regarding money? So write those down. We're going to need them for next week. And it'll help you kind of get in the groove, right? Get started. I told you, you got to love your money. You got to take it out. This is you calling your money and asking it on a date. It's going to be scary, right? You're going to hear those few seconds of silence. You're going to be unsure of how it turns out. But how are you going to marry it? Ask it to be your wealth forever if you don't take the darn thing on a date. So take your money on a date. Do the exercise. Do the quiz. If you want to email me what you got, feel free to do it. MentalCement@gmail.com. Shoot it over. I'll answer. And have some fun. I promise you. Have fun. Money is not just for old rich white dudes. Promise you. It could be for little black chicks like me. It could be for whoever in the world you are over there in podcast land. It's for everybody because we all got to make it. So why should we be afraid to talk about it? I'm Candace Kelly. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Mental Cement, and I'll see you next week.
Tune in next week as we continue our journey towards mindset mastery. Thank you for listening to Mental Cement.